He, by his enemies, Gatabihicha, and by his family members or relatives, Prityaktaha, deserted, Yatanam, all kinds of suffering, Anuyapitaha, unusually severely suffered, Guruna, by his spiritual master, Bhartitaha, rebuked, Shaptaha, and cursed, Jaho, gave up, Satyam, truthfulness, Na, not, Suvrataha, being fixed in his vow, Chalai, pretentiously, Uktaha, spoken, Maya, by me, Dharmaha, the religious principles, Na, not, Ayam, this Bali Maharaj, Tiyajati, does give up, Satyavak, being true to his word. Translation. Although bereft of his riches, fallen from his original position, defeated and arrested by his enemies, rebuked and deserted by his relatives and friends, although suffering the pain of being bound, and although rebuked and cursed by his spiritual master, Bali Maharaj, being fixed in his vow, did not give up his truthfulness. It was certainly with pretension that I spoke about religious principles, but he did not give up religious principles, for he is true to his word. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Bali Maharaj passed the severe test put before him by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is further proof of the Lord's mercy toward his devotee. The Supreme Personality of Godhead sometimes puts a devotee to severe tests that are almost unbearable. One could hardly even live under the conditions forced upon Bali Maharaj. That Bali Maharaj endured all these severe tests and austerities is the mercy of the Supreme Lord. The Lord certainly appreciates the devotee's forbearance, and it is recorded for the future glorification of the devotee. This was not an ordinary test. As described in this verse, hardly anyone could survive such a test, but for the future glorification of Bali Maharaj, one of the Mahajans, the Supreme Personality of Godhead not only tested him, but also gave him the strength to tolerate such adversity. The Lord is so kind to his devotee that when severely testing him, the Lord gives him the necessary strength to be tolerant and continue to remain a glorious devotee. Om Ajnanatimarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuranmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svaparantikam Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I pray to the Vaishnavas that I may be able to speak appropriately on the Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta that has been handed down to us by Srila Prabhupada. So we are continuing with Lord Vamanadeva glorifying Bali Maharaj, his devotee. And this is due to response to Lord Brahma questioning the Lord about his tying up, binding Bali Maharaj and not letting him go. So Lord Brahma was questioning the Lord's activities. And so Lord Vamanadeva begins glorifying Bali Maharaj. And in today he's talking about how everything was taken away from him. He fell from his position. He was cursed by his spiritual master. But still, he was fixed in his vow and he didn't give up truthfulness. He stayed true to his word. And this is the relationship between Bhagavan and the Bhakta, that the Bhakta surrenders his life and glorifies the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Bhagavan, he, Krishna, he also glorifies and surrenders unto his Bhakta, unto his devotee. So there's the transcendental reciprocation between the devotee and the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada in the purport talks about how the devotee's forbearance is recorded for the future glorification of the devotee. It's quite amazing to really understand what Bali Maharaj went through. Everything was taken from him. He was in such a high position and everything was taken from him. He surrendered it all to Lord Vamanadeva. And us living entities, we're Jivaras Rupahoy Krishna Nityadas. We're eternally the servants of Krishna. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabanoi. Within our hearts is Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema. Krishna Prema is eternally with us, but we've turned away from Krishna. And we've come to this material world to try and enjoy separately from Krishna. And in doing so, we've built up so much, you could say, conditioning, that in this life we're told you need to reach a high position, you need to get so much wealth. To be successful, you need to really plunge yourself in to material life. By this conditioning from our birth, and what to speak of childhood, and what our parents and what society forces upon us, we steer away from our natural inclination to serve Krishna. And we dive into material existence, and we forget about our real true nature. And because of not surrendering to Krishna, Krishna will place us in a test, a severe test that is almost unbearable, and that test is the time of death. At the time of death, everything will be taken away from us. Everything that is in relation to this body, this mind, it'll be taken away. All of our so-called riches, our prestige, even our own intelligence will be taken away from us. It'll be ripped away from us. Just like Bali Maharaj here, as everything was taken away from him at the time of death, we're going to be tested by the Lord and everything will be taken away. We either surrender or we come back again and do the same thing. So the Lord, by his mercy, will test the devotee. It says here, this is further proof of the Lord's mercy toward his devotee, that he's tested, and how the Lord appreciates his forbearance. He appreciates the devotee's forbearance. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada, in one purport, he talks about how there's four devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that taught four great principles to the whole world. Lord Chaitanya taught these four principles through the four devotees. So the first one is Ramananda Roy. Ramananda Roy showed by his example how he can completely overcome Cupid by devotional service. He was completely free from lust. And the next is Damodar Pandit. Damodar Pandit was the example of simplicity. Because of his simplicity, he was even able to critique the Lord's behavior. And Srila Prabhupada mentions how this should not be imitated by anybody. Nobody can criticize the Lord but Damodar Pandit. But that was because of his intense simplicity. And Srila Sanatana Goswami, he taught the principle of humility and meekness. When we read about the life of Srila Sanatana Goswami, we can see that he was the epitome of Vaishnava etiquette and humility. And the fourth devotee is Srila Haridas Thakur. And Srila Haridas Thakur taught forbearance, tolerance. Haridas Thakur was born in a Muslim family. And we understand through Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur's Navadvip Dham Mahatmya that Lord Brahma, after offending the Lord, after offending Krishna by taking the cowherd boys and the cows away, he went to Navadvip to perform austerities and penances. And so in Navadvip Dham, after performing austerities and penances, actually in Samantadvip, he actually had darshan of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he prayed to be born in the most low position so that he could really understand humility and forbearance. So Lord Brahma took his birth as Haridas Thakur. And Haridas Thakur, being born in a Muslim family, he was an outcast by Hindu standards. And yet he took to the path of devotional service, bhakti. And we know that he made a vow of chanting 300,000 names. He was the Namacharya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu raised him up as the Namacharya. And because of his practice, because of his devotion to chanting the holy names, the Muslims, they were so against him coming to this path that they beat him in 22 marketplaces. They told him to stop chanting. And Srila Haridas Thakur said that even if you cut up my body into little pieces, all those pieces will still be chanting the holy names. This is his determination. And they took him to the 22 marketplaces and they beat him with canes. And they beat him so severely that I think it was around the third or the fourth marketplace, the guards that were beating him, they said that nobody's ever made it past this. We've beaten them so badly that they usually lose their life around the fifth marketplace. But Srila Haridas Thakur, he looked upon them with compassion and love, because he knew that they were in the mode of ignorance. They couldn't understand what they were doing. And so he was actually praying for them. While they were beating him severely, he was praying for them. So he is the epitome, he is the example of forbearance, of tolerance. And later on we also understand that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him the forbearance, because in the Mahaprakash Leela, Lord Chaitanya showed that he had actually taken the beatings on his own back. This is the relationship between the Bhakta and Bhagavan. But we can see with many other devotees how they were put into severe tests by the Lord. When we remember the pastime of the Pandavas, Gus has been reminding me of the Pandavas lately because of his reading Mahabharata. But you see that they went through so many trials and tribulations in their life. They were kicked out of their own kingdom. They had to remain in exile for so many years. They were, you know, almost burnt down in the house of lack by their own cousins. Their own family was pursuing them. And they had to go through so many trials and tribulations. How it's stated here, Bali Maharaj was rebuked and cursed by his spiritual master. Arjuna, in the battle of Kurukshetra, he had to face his spiritual master. He was placed in such a position that he had to fight his spiritual master, Dronacharya. What to speak about Bhishma Dev, who was like their grandfather. The Pandavas were placed in such a test that we can't even imagine being in that position. What to speak of giving the proper example of forbearance like they did. And Queen Kunti, she prayed that to always stay in this position of trials and tribulations so that she could always remember Krishna. And sometimes that happens, most of the time that happens, that when everything is going well, we forget about Krishna. We usually glorify ourselves that everything is going so well. And we think, oh yeah, I can just relax and hang out and, oh yeah, it's, you know, everything's okay. That's kind of the Southern California mentality. Everything's okay, no worries. But even in the great lives of these devotees, they were so intense upon their surrender to the Supreme Lord. Another example is Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj was also tested by the Lord. The Lord took everything away because of a slight offense to the Brahmin. Sringi cursed Parikshit Maharaj. And due to this, Parikshit Maharaj, he was cursed to die in 7 days. In the material world, most people, they find out that they're going to die within 7 days. They write some kind of materialistic bucket list and they think, oh, I have to party my last party and enjoy as much as possible before I die. But we see Parikshit Maharaj, instead of doing what the materialists would do, he went to the bank of the Ganga to deeply surrender his life and understand what to do at the time of death. What to speak of the devotees of the Lord, even the devotees' parents were placed in such a test and trial and tribulation. Devaki and Vasudev, they were thrown into prison by King Kamsa, and their children were murdered by Kamsa. And then, right when Krishna is born, right when he appears, this is the perfection of their life. They're in prison, their children have been killed. Finally, Krishna comes, everything's going to be okay. And Krishna says, okay, take me to Vrindavan. Imagine that. They finally, Krishna came, they've been waiting for him. And then Krishna ordered Vasudev, okay, take me to Vrindavan. And then they don't see him for so many years. Just imagine being placed in that test. But somebody can say, well, these are ancient histories, and, you know, what about today's examples? And we have our Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada had to tolerate so much. He was living in Vrindavan, and he could have stayed there. He was perfect in his Krishna consciousness. But he wanted to spread Krishna consciousness throughout the whole world, his own desire and his spiritual master's desire. And so he wanted to serve his guru by spreading Krishna consciousness throughout the whole world. And he had heart attacks. He had so much disease to deal with. What to speak of training up disciples that had no idea in Varnashram Dharma or spiritual life. He had to tolerate so much. And in Yamuna Devi's book, Yamuna Devi talks about how Srila Prabhupada was talking to them and he never complained. Srila Prabhupada made this point that he never once complained. In our lives, sometimes we take the opportunities to complain, but Srila Prabhupada never complained. He was most tolerant and forbearing. And even a more recent example is His Holiness Bhaktitirtha Swami. You know, somebody can say, oh, Srila Prabhupada, he's a pure devotee and he's beyond the modes of material nature. And we see in the life of Bhaktitirtha Swami, at the end, his cancer was getting so bad, his leg was amputated. He was suffering so much, he was getting bed sores, laying in bed. And even the cancer was going into his bones. And so the doctors actually said that the painkillers won't do anything. No medicine, no painkillers will do anything to help his pain because it's so deep in his bones. And yet he was chanting every single day, up until the last day of his departure. He was chanting 20 rounds every day. And even my Guru Maharaj was talking about how he tried to convince Bhaktitirtha Swami that You can lessen your rounds. The Prabhupada will understand you're in such a miserable condition. And Bhaktitirtha Swami said that this is my relationship with Srila Prabhupada. My chanting is my relationship with Srila Prabhupada. So even on the last day that he was in this material world, he could barely speak, he could barely move, but he motioned for his japa beads. And even though he was in so much pain in the last days, if for a moment he wasn't attentive in chanting his rounds, he would start over all over again. He wouldn't count around unless it was completely attentive. This is the tolerance and the example of Bhakti Tirtha Swami that was just how many years ago? Maybe 10 years ago. And so obstacles and tests given by the Lord are actually stepping stones to increase our Krishna consciousness, dive deeper into Krishna consciousness. These tests by the Lord is His mercy. Srila Prabhupada said, this is further proof of the Lord's mercy toward His devotee, that He takes everything away and tests him. And there's one really nice sentence in Krishna book, in the pastime of when Bhrigu Muni goes to test Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu to see who is the greatest deity. And we know that he he tries to offend Brahma by his words. By his words. And then, anyway, he ends up kicking the chest of Vishnu. And Vishnu is so tolerant. And so Srila Prabhupada, he actually makes a very, very powerful sentence here that we should all try to memorize. And Srila Prabhupada states, one's greatness has to be estimated by one's ability to tolerate provoking situations. It's a very powerful statement. One's greatness has to be estimated by one's ability to tolerate provoking situations. The devotee, real Vaishnavas, they wear around their neck this verse, Trinadapi Sunichena, Tororivasi Hishnuna, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sada Hari. By chanting the holy names constantly, one can be more tolerant than a tree and think oneself more humbler than a blade of grass. And we see that the chanting increases our humility, increases our forbearance. The tree is giving so much fruits, giving shade when it's hot. The tree is the example of tolerance. And yet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives this verse to be more tolerant than a tree. Sometimes devotees say some things to us that rub us the wrong way and we think, why is he speaking like that to me? Or something happens that really can disturb our mind and it ends up disturbing our devotional service. But when we really try to take shelter of the holy name, really try to feel the mood of Srila Prabhupada and our Vaishnavacharyas, Trinadapi Sunichena Tororivasihishnuna. And this is ultimately what will be our perfection, is to try and tolerate. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also prays this, Lishava Paritam Panashtamam Madarshanan Marmahatam Kurotava. You can kick me, you can ignore me, but I'm always going to be your servant. You're always going to be my Lord, nobody else. You can do whatever you want to me, but I'm always going to surrender. So, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabaroi, Shavanadi Shuddha Chite Koriya Udoi. Krishna Prema, love of God, is within us, but it's covered up. Our heart is so dirty. Cheto Dharpana Marjanam, by hearing and chanting, that becomes uncovered. And Krishna Prema comes back when we hear and chant about the Lord. So surrender, Sharanagati, it has so many different facets, and we're learning from Bali Maharaj how to properly surrender. And Srila Rupa Goswami, he talks about how we need to have six things to really increase our devotion. Utsahan nishchayad dharyat tat tat karma parvartanat sangha tyaga Satovrite Shadbhir Bhakti Prasidyati. Utsahan, enthusiasm. When you're enthusiastic, no matter what happens, you'll always go on, chant, do devotional service. And to be enthusiastic, we must associate with those who are enthusiastic. So we have to have utsahan. Nishchayad, confidence. endeavoring in confidence. But we shouldn't be confident in ourselves. We should be confident in Srila Prabhupada, confident in our guru, and confident in the process that we have taken. Dharyat, patient. Of course, things don't happen overnight. We need patience. And Srila Prabhupada gives the example of a woman who is pregnant. She has to wait 9 months before the child will come out. She can't just, the child's going to come out tomorrow. No, she has to be patient. Just like we need to be patient also. Tat tat karma pravartanat. By following the activities of devotional service, shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu smaranam, sangha tyagat, we need to give up the association of the materialistic persons, because birds of a feather flock together. Who you associate with, you'll become. You can tell a man by who he associates with. And satovrite, we have to follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. So I'll end there if there's any questions or comments. Acharya Narottam Prabhu has a chastisement for me.
Thank you, Bala Gopal Prabhu, such an amazing class. We heard that Arjuna accepted Krishna as his spiritual master. At the same time, in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, we heard also that Arjuna was fighting against his spiritual master, with Dronacharya. So my question comes that, is Dronacharya his military guru, Krishna his spiritual guru, or both are spiritual gurus? How these things works?
I would tend to agree with that. Maybe Jhutakarma Prabhu or Archita Prabhu can give more clarification. But it seems like that would be the case. Dronacharya, he was specifically teaching them the military arts. Jhutakarma Prabhu, did you want to elaborate on that? Or is that, can we come to that conclusion?
I mean, the ideal evidence would be a direct statement from Guru Shastra or one of the recognized acharyas. But in general, the principle is there, there's the verse of Vande Gurun, I offer respect to my spiritual masters. So there can be different kinds of spiritual masters. There can be the Diksha Guru, the Shiksha. One should have one Diksha Guru. That's a principle. And then one can have many instructing spiritual masters. So, in principle, one can have many spiritual masters, but generally only one Diksha Guru.
Anything else?
I had a question that I've been thinking about for a while. So in that statement from, I think it was Nectar of Instruction about like birds of a feather flock together. There's this idea that I read a long time ago in a book. It was called like The Laws of Power. And it was like in the shaman section, the shamans. When one of the principles to like in the shaman cult worship was to, avoid the association of people who are not within that group. And, we're trained to be very compassionate to, people. We do book distribution, and we see in Srila Prabhupada's example that even in the beginning he tolerated so much from people who were starting to become interested in Krishna consciousness. So I'm just curious how we should play our cards as devotees, which are aspiring devotees, to still bring people in and to protect ourselves from the Maya, and how to balance that. I'm just curious on any ideas on that.
Srila Prabhupada gave his association. He didn't take association from any materialistic peoples, but he was giving his association. And so when we're living in a spiritual community like this, this is like the base where we recharge our batteries, and then we go out and we don't try to give our association, we try to give Srila Prabhupada's association through his books. And that's our preaching. So many times different devotees, they talk about how Srila Prabhupada, he's the one that's actually preaching, and we're just trying to assist him in his mission. And so this is what it means to actually try to, you know, give our association. It means giving Srila Prabhupada's association to others. But we also have to be careful and guard against taking association from materialistic people, because we'll take on their qualities. And so that's why we need to take shelter of advanced devotees. And then when we're at the temple, try to hear and chant with each other as much as possible. Try and take the association of advanced Vaishnavas, and then we'll be protected by Maya. Also, Srila Prabhupada says, take ample amount of prasadam. When you have an infection, then we take prasadam to counteract the infection. Archita Prabhu.
Well, Gopal Prabhu, thank you for a very nice class and a nice answer to Bhakta Karim's question. It's not that some people say, Prabhupada himself said directly when one devotee said, Prabhupada, sometimes when I preach, and Prabhupada cut him off and said, what do you mean when you preach? He said, I'm preaching, you're helping me. But the overall principle of preaching is to catch the fish without getting wet. Mm. So you have to know where you are. You know, just like if you cannot present the philosophy nicely, then find somebody else who can. Don't try and stumble and bumble. Learn from those who are more advanced. That's our culture. And sometimes devotees don't take this seriously enough, especially when preaching to the really dyed-in-the-wool materialists, generally those who have a lot of wealth. It can be mesmerizing. You know, when somebody has wealth and you're trying to get out of material culture and get into spiritual culture, you can be dazzled by their wealth if you're not very advanced. So quite often devotees think, you know, I'm going to go and cultivate this person. Yeah, I'm going to cultivate them, this famous person or this person with money. And next thing you know, they actually surrender to them. They surrender to their lifestyle. And they get washed out of Krishna consciousness because they're not strong enough. So when it comes to preaching, find someone who's on a level who's appropriate to preach to that person. And that's why Prabhupada establishes, for instance, his Bhaktivedanta science preaching arm, the BI, because he wanted devotees who were really trained in the scientific arguments to go and present to those who are in that field. Because if you don't know anything and you go into some science conference and try to just chant Hare Krishna, whatever, they're not going to listen to you. But somebody like Jyotikarma Prabhu, who's trained and he knows exactly how they think, he can present corresponding arguments to at least get them to be thoughtful and hear what we have to say. So yes, Bhakta Karim, yes, you should go out, but go out according to your level. Preach according to your level. And if you come up against somebody who's on a level that you find uncomfortable to associate with, then find someone else who can deal with that.
Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.